Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you this morning from Philippians chapter 3. And the title of this message is, A Safe Message to Rejoice In. That's what I want to bring this morning, a safe message to rejoice in. This chapter, Philippians chapter 3, this one chapter contains just about everything a preacher would ever need to declare from God's Word in order to declare the whole counsel of God. Everything that God has called us to say and declare. The warnings of God's Word are in this chapter. All of the warnings that we need to hear. We need to hear the warnings that God has given us. The warnings of eternity. The warnings of our own sin. The warnings of our own deeds. All the warnings are in here. The truth of repentance is in here. A changed mind about everything, the things of God, the things of man, what salvation is, how God saves sinners, what truly justifies a sinner, repentance, a changed mind, it's in here. The gospel is in here. The sweetness of the good news, it's in here. That precious declaration of good news. The exhortations of life, everything that our Lord has exhorted us to as believers, as children of God, all of the things He commands of us, they're in here. All of the counsel of God is in this chapter. If we had one chapter in God's Word to hold on to, how blessed would we be to have Philippians chapter 3. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. It begins in verse 1 by saying, "Finally, my brethren." I love that. Finally, my brethren. How good and how pleasant it is to have brethren in Christ. Isn't that right? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't that what David wrote? Psalm 133. It's good and it's pleasant. I'm so thankful, and I know you are too. We're so thankful that we don't stand alone on these issues of the truth. A man named Martin Luther, he thought he stood alone. Elijah thought he stood alone. Different men throughout the ages have thought that they stood alone on these issues of God's Word, the issues of the truth. And how good and how pleasant it is to have brethren, brothers and sisters that the Lord has called into His family, into His knowledge of the gospel, and given a love of His truth to them. That's a wonderful thing. There's love amongst the brethren, and there's love from Christ to His people. There's love in Paul's voice right here. Finally, my brethren. That's a loving thing to say. Dear brethren, that's what he's saying. Those of you that God has united with me, that's who he's talking to. United in the blood of Christ. In order to be true brethren, we must be united by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be covered in that blood. We're united in the Spirit of Christ. True brethren are united by God's Spirit, His blood, His Spirit. Paul is saying, those of you that I'll be joined to for all eternity in the presence of God, the sinless presence of God. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's what he tells them. Rejoice in the Lord. That is our great reminder for happiness. Paul is reminding us where our happiness truly lies. The only place that true happiness can exist. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Don't you love it when that reminder comes? Where is my happiness? Where is my rejoicing? Oh, yeah, it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. If you look right here at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said in verse 16, rejoice evermore from here on out. Just rejoice evermore. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, he said in the next verse, pray without ceasing. Call on God without ceasing. Call unto the Lord without ceasing. He said in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. Everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever it is you're going through, this is God's will concerning you. What does God have for me? Well, what am I going through? This is the will of God concerning you. And he said, give thanks for it. Call on God in prayer, giving thanks for it, and rejoice forevermore. Just rejoice in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Precious, precious. You might say, I just can't rejoice. I cannot rejoice in the things that are going on around me right now. I look around and I see things and I'm so disheartened by it, I just can't rejoice in it. Well, that's okay. We're not commanded to. We're not commanded to rejoice in the things that are going on around us right now. That's not God's command to us. You might say, well, I just can't rejoice in the way that things are at home. Can't rejoice in that. Well, that's okay. We're not commanded to. David, King David, he said, although my house be not so with God. It's just not so. You might say, well, I just can't rejoice in myself. I look at myself and I just can't rejoice. I can't rejoice in my walk before God. I can't rejoice in anything I am, inside or out. I cannot rejoice in what I see in myself. Well, that's okay. We're not commanded to. Our God commanded us in His Word to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. When there is nothing left to rejoice in, when there's nothing left in this world to rejoice in, we can rejoice in the Lord. We truly can. We can always rejoice in our Lord. We can rejoice in His will. We know His will is going to be done, don't we? This sinful flesh tries to convince us that we have a will that is capable of doing what it wants to do, but it doesn't. The only will that's going to be done is God's will. And we can rejoice in His good and perfect will. We can rejoice in His providence. Everything that is happening is His will. And it's all on purpose. And it's all working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We can rejoice in the end result because of that. It might be difficult. It might be painful. But for a believer, the end result is good. We can rejoice in all the good that He's going to bring from whatever it is we're going through. Everything that happens is for the furtherance of the gospel. It's for the calling out of His sheep. It's for the salvation of the soul. And we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in His mercy. Thank God for mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We know what we deserve, don't we? We know we're sinners against God, and we know what we deserve. But there's mercy in the blood of Christ, and we can rejoice in that. Not getting the punishment that we deserve, because He took it. We can rejoice in the blood that He shed, paying that punishment. We can rejoice in the kingdom that He has prepared for every soul that God His Father gave to Him. this glorious kingdom. We can rejoice at the thought of being physically with Him if we belong to Him. If He died for us, if He redeemed us, we can rejoice in the thought of being sinless as we stand there with Him in His presence, totally sinless. We can rejoice in the thought of being conformed to His image, conformed into the perfect image of the Lord who saved us. What a reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Back over in the text, Philippians chapter 3, if you look with me there, verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, the same things." Paul said, "To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." It's safe. Has God convinced us of a few things? Number one, has God convinced us when it comes to this thing of religion? Has God convinced us that there are thousands and thousands of different messages out there? Thousands of different beliefs, thousands of different doctrines, thousands of different stands on the Scripture. Has God convinced us of that? I believe He has. There's thousands, aren't there? Has God convinced us, though, that there is only one message? Only one message out of all those thousands. One belief, one doctrine, one stand on the Scripture that will save. Has God convinced us of that? You know, people say, "Well, I'm okay and you're okay and we have our doctrinal differences, but we're all going to end up in the same place in the end." And now, wait a minute. Has God convinced us that there's only one message that saves? Only one message, and that is the one message that Christ declared in His Word. Has God convinced us of that? The one that gives Christ all the glory. That's the only one that'll save. Has God convinced us that He is true and every man is a liar? And I mean every man. Let's point at this man right here. God is true and every man is a liar. If I do not declare what God has written in His Word, I'm a liar. Don't listen to me. If I'm not declaring God's Word, do not listen to me. Has God convinced us that He alone is true? And aside from what He's written, every man, his own way, his own thoughts, his own doctrine, it's all lies. Aside from the truth. Has God convinced us that we do not need an opinion on His Word? We don't need an opinion on His Word. All we need is His Word. That's all we need. Verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe." It's so safe. Do we have some grasp on how long eternity is? I'll go ahead and answer that question for us. The answer is no. We don't have any grasp on how long eternity is. But if the Lord will let us ponder it for just a minute, you think about how short this life is and how infinite eternity is, how long eternity is. What I'm getting at is we cannot afford to be wrong. Souls are going to spend eternity either in God's blessing or in God's damnation. And we cannot afford to be wrong. We cannot. Do we really want our eternal souls hanging on a sinner's opinion of God's Word? Or do we want our eternal soul hanging on the Word of Christ Himself? Which one is it? Which one is it? I have physically heard men and women say, I've physically heard it with my own ears, heard men and women say that they're not interested in the simple, plain message of Christ. And the reason is because they're looking for something that will more so challenge their mind. That's what they want. They want their mind to be challenged. Well, that's fine. The only problem with it is, it's not safe. It's not safe. Not at all. Our Lord said it pleased His Father to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them to babes. That's what He said. Babes. Babes who are not able to feed on anything more than the simple message of Christ. Our Lord also said, not many wise men after the flesh are called. God hath chosen the foolish things. What arrogant man considers to be a foolish thing, a simple thing, way too simple. That's what God has chosen to confound the wise, those who spend all their time trying to challenge the mind. God's apostle said, for that reason, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's safe. It's safe. Verse 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. It's safe. And then he says in verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. For the sake of being safe, beware of dogs. Now, what does he mean by that? Who are these dogs that he's talking about? Well, he expounds on it by saying in verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who preach and believe. Those who truly hold to the works of man. That's who he's talking about. The works and the deeds of man in order to be saved. The will of man in order to be saved. If you'll turn with me over to Revelation 22, the last book in the Bible, the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 14 says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. They're going to be allowed to enter in right into the gates, right into the city, the kingdom of God. But verse 15 says, for without are dogs. Without are dogs. Dogs are not going to be allowed in. Dogs, and then he goes on to say sorcerers, those who use trickery to try to hypnotize men and women to follow them. Dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, those who try to steal man's affection away from Christ. He said dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers. Now, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. You know that? He murdered men and women for believing this truth. He's talking about the spiritual murder. A man can commit murder and God can have mercy on his soul. God can put away that sin in the blood of His Son. He's talking about murderers, those who hate the true and living God. Our Lord said, if you hate in the heart, you've committed murder. Those who hate God being God. God Almighty being God Almighty, hate His Word and murder men's souls in the process of hating God and His Word, hating those who love God. And then he went on to say, idolaters, those who worship another God. And there's not another God. There's only one God. Beside Him, there is no God. And he goes on to say, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those who stand up behind pulpits and they love lies and they tell lies. They make lies. Our Lord said they're not coming in. They're not coming in. They're not my prophets and they're not coming in. And if you look with me over at Isaiah chapter 56. In Isaiah 56, this is talking about false prophets. Verse 10 says, his watchmen are blind, talking about false prophets. He said they're blind. Blind to the truth, blind to the Word of God. They're blind, they are all ignorant. Ignorant to the truth, ignorant to the Word of God. They are all dumb dogs, he said. Dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. That's what he said about false prophets. They're dumb dogs. And they sleep, they lie down, they love to slumber, and they can't bark. Just like if you had a dog inside your home, and that was your watchdog. You had that dog there for safety. And one day a thief broke in and started stealing all of your stuff. And that dog looked up from his sleep and he saw that thief stealing all of your stuff. And then he just laid his head back down and went back down to sleep. Never barked. Never gave a warning of danger. That's a false prophet. That's a false prophet. He said in verse 10, they cannot bark. They cannot bark. In verse 11, he said, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. They all think they have their own way. They have their own answer. They're not looking for God's answer. Everyone for his gain, in it for his own gain, from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. We'll just keep having a feast. They say everybody needs to smile. It's all health, wealth, and happiness, and tomorrow's going to be the same thing. They seem friendly. They do. They seem very friendly. They seem like man's best friend. They seem harmless. But our Lord said in Matthew 7 concerning false prophets, he said, they come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ravening wolves. So he said, beware of them. Beware of them. And back in our text, back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those who preach and believe in the necessity of man's works. They try to destroy God's grace. That's the concision. Verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision. We are the true people of God. God promised an inheritance. He promised that He would have a people, His true people. He promised this inheritance to a particular people. He promised it to a chosen nation, the Jews. And He gave the Jews a token of His promise. He gave them circumcision. And he said, the Jews are going to be saved. This is my token and my promise to them. They're going to receive this inheritance from me. But the good news, we're not Jews. We're Gentiles. And the good news came to us Gentiles when Christ came. And when he came, the good news said, this gospel's going to all the world. My kindness and my mercy and my grace is going to all the world. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 2, he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. That's not the evidence. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, not in the birth certificate. It's something God does in the heart of his people, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What does that mean? It means, verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. All the promises of God, all of the eternal inheritance of God is to those who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. How can a dead sinner truly worship God? God has to quicken him by His Spirit. God has to send His Spirit to him. And if God does send His Spirit to a sinner, that Spirit will worship God. If we do worship God, God made us worship Him. We're His true people who have been made to bow. We are His true people who love to bow. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in the Lord and what He's done for us in spite of us. And if God has made that promise to us, if God has shown us His mercy, shown us His blood, we rejoice in His will. We rejoice in His work. We rejoice in the cross. And we say He's done all things well. We truly rejoice in Him. And seeing Him and what He's done causes us to put absolutely no confidence in this flesh. None. None. God's people do not enjoy what they see in themselves. They're not full of pride over works. They're not full of pride over self-righteousness. We rejoice in Christ alone. And we put absolutely no confidence in the flesh. Has God done that for us? Are we His people? Can we say the same thing with the Apostle Paul? If we can, we belong to God Almighty. If we can rejoice in the Lord. If we can, it can be said of us, we're brethren. Finally, dear brethren, united in Christ, united in His blood. May God truly put that in our hearts. May He truly cause us to say that we absolutely worship God in the Spirit. We absolutely rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He's done. And we put no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. May God truly do a work in our hearts. May He cause us to see Him and rejoice in everything He's done. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.